Gospel reading this morning comes from John chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered round him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they will follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The word of the Lord.
I think just about all people experience a reality where there's a disconnect between how our relationships should be in our minds, our vision of what a great relationship would be, and then how they actually end up being in real life. Now, certainly there's some great stuff in our relationships, and a lot of times they're very positive. They could be full of love and joy and companionship and so on. So, I mean, relationships probably are the most meaningful things in our lives, and they're wonderful. But, of course, there's also brokenness in relationships. There's misunderstanding. There's miscommunication. There's mistreatment. And whether we're talking about any kind of relationship we can have in life, whether it's a relationship with ourselves, whether it's our relationship with others, whether it's a spiritual relationship, our relationship with God, to be human is to have imperfect relationships. And of course, deep down, I think, hopefully all of us know that our relationships are imperfect. They're flawed, not just because of the other party, not just because of the other person, but of course, we are part of the problem. As humans, we bring our flaws to our relationships. And whatever those flaws are, whatever those feelings are that get in the way, those are what sometimes bring the problems in relationships. Things like anger, things like selfishness, things like pride or laziness or self-centeredness, right? We all know that we are part of the problem. And so we know this. We know that we have relationships. We know that they're not perfect, and we're one of the reasons. And yet, even though deep down we know that we're one of the reasons they're imperfect and that we're part of the problem, there's this other reality with human beings, that we are wonderful at coming up with excuses as to why our relationships are not as they should be. And humans, when we make excuses, we're really good at laying the blame on something else or someone else. We often tell ourselves that, yeah, things didn't turn out, but you know, they would have if only this person had been different, or this about the world had been different. If it had been different, I would have done the right thing too. And we do this in all our relationships. We do it in the way we treat ourselves, our relationship with ourselves. Let me give you an example from my life. So I don't know if you know, but being a pastor is really a varied job. But one of the problems with it for your health is that it has a lot of sitting, potentially. You sit while you write a sermon, you sit while you visit with people, you sit while you're writing newsletters, you sit in meetings. So potentially, I spend a lot of my day sitting, and actually they've done studies, and pastors physically aren't always that healthy. And I can feel that in my back, and I can feel that in my overall health level. So I know Paul Schick that he needs to get up more during the day and just like go on walks and make sure he exercises at the end of the day. I know that that's something I need to do for myself, for my own health. And yet, after a long day, and maybe I'm tired, maybe I'm stressed, I get home, and I see something I want to do, or I want to eat, or I want to watch TV, or I want to read a book, and I tell myself, if only I had more time or energy, Paul, you could exercise. But clearly, you know, it's too busy of the day, you're too tired, don't worry about it tonight. You know, and part of that is my mind tells myself that it's not your fault, Paul. It's just circumstances beyond your control. That's why, you know, you don't always get enough exercise. But deep down, I know it's not true, right? I know that if I really was motivated and remembered and was disciplined, I could probably, during my workday, for instance, get up and walk around and be more healthy. So that's just one silly example. But we do this all the time in our lives where we know that we're living the wrong way, we know we're doing things that aren't healthy, and yet we come up with excuses as to why it's not really our fault. We certainly also make excuses for the way we treat others. I think of another one I experience in my own life where most of the time when I come home, you know, first thing I want to do is play with my kids, and it's so wonderful and great. But once in a while, I'll have a long day. You're stressed, you're tired, and if you've ever had children, little children, you find this sometimes where they come up to you and they say, "Mommy, Daddy, do you want to play?" And sometimes energy-wise, you don't really want to do it. And in your mind, you think, I don't have time to play, or I don't have the energy. I can't play right now. And so maybe sometimes you say no, even though you probably could. And this is something I think about too. Whenever I say no, there's a voice in my head saying, well, maybe you can't right now, but you could play with your kid at some point this evening, right? You have 15 minutes, you have an hour, you have 30 minutes to play with your kid if you really want to. And then again, what is more important than spending time with your children and you know, honoring that relationship if our priorities are right? You know, so once again, this is just another example where we tell ourselves, oh, I don't have time, but really is, I don't feel like it. You know, I'm too tired. So we make excuses in the ways we relate with others. And so we see this in our human relationships and the way we treat ourselves and the way we treat others. But we also make excuses in the way we relate to God, no doubt. You know, I think sometimes we're having trouble in our faith for one reason or another. Maybe we're feeling low on trust. We feel like we really can't trust God. And a lot of times we sort of come to God and we pray these funny prayers like, God, if you would only appear to me in this way, if you would only make yourself more obvious to me, then I would truly believe. Or maybe there's something in our life that we really want. Maybe it's a silly thing that we don't really need, or maybe even it's a really important thing. But we start to try to bargain with God, right? God, if only you would bless me with this outcome that I really want, then I will believe. Then I will be a really good, faithful Christian. And then what happens sometimes if God doesn't answer our prayers on our terms, if God doesn't sign on the dotted line and deliver, then it becomes an excuse later for why our faith is unhealthy, right? God hasn't spoken to me enough. God hasn't appeared to me enough. God hasn't blessed me enough, and that's why I don't have the faith life that I know that I should. And so no matter which kind of relationship it is and which kind of excuse it is, I think behind all these excuses in our lives that we tell ourselves, it's this reality that we're tempted to believe that kind of underlies it all. It's this reality. It's telling ourselves we don't have enough to live as we should. We don't have enough. There's something that we're missing. We don't have enough time for self-care, maybe. We don't have enough energy to care for others. We don't have enough blessings from God to really have a strong faith. In one way or another, we're telling ourselves that we don't have the materials to live the way we should. Well, in today's story, I think one of the things Jesus does is he confronts this kind of untruth that we tell ourselves, and he puts forth to us a very different idea. He basically says, God has given us everything we need to live as the people of God. Jesus has given us everything we need in our lives to be faithful if we can only see what we have. So today we have a little short gospel reading, and in this little gospel reading, Jesus is walking through the temple and he's being followed by a crowd. And like we always often see, this crowd is kind of chasing Jesus, kind of like the Beatles in A Hard Day's Night. He's very popular, and you know, they could see that Jesus is something special. But they don't know beyond that what kind of special Jesus is. You know, they could see from his preaching and from his teaching that he's very intelligent and he seems to be a very wise person. They can see from his acts of miracles and healings that he seems to have remarkable powers. So yes, there's something about Jesus, but they don't know what. And they are beginning to suspect that this might be the Messiah who is foretold. You know, the idea of a savior, of a Messiah, didn't come after Jesus. That was an idea that was already going around. Lots of Jews were expecting a savior to come about to save Israel. And so they were starting to wonder if this amazing fellow named Jesus was him. But even though they have a hint in their hearts that this might be him, they're just not ready to make that mental leap. And in fact, they're not just not ready. They go to Jesus in this story, and they come with a complaint. They say, "Jesus, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly," right? Lay it on the line. You need to be more obvious, Jesus. If you're the Messiah, just tell us. You know, one of the funny things about this story is the blindness of people in Jesus' day to see what Jesus' identity was. And I want to, you know, look at some of the dimensions in this story on how obvious God is making us. Here, the people of these Jewish people, they're walking around the temple of Jerusalem, and this is where God was said to live, right? So the temple of Jerusalem, among all places in the world, this was how Jews understood God resided, in this temple. And so they're in God's presence in this way. And then even more than that, Jesus, the Son of God, God incarnate, is walking around the temple, literally present with them. He's literally walking around with them, having a conversation. He's been preaching the gospel. He's been doing miracles. So in other words, how much more obvious does God have to get? They had God more present with them than maybe anyone has ever experienced. And yet, what are the crowds doing? They're complaining. Jesus, why don't you make your identity more obvious? Well, you know, really it's a return to these if-only excuses I mentioned earlier. If only I had this, then things would be different. Jesus, if only you made yourself more obvious, then we would believe. Well, Jesus answers it in a funny way. I mean, in a very straightforward way. He says, "I have told you, but you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe." Right? He's saying, "I've told you," and it's true. And John, he tells people all the time who he is, and he's been doing amazing things. He's basically saying, "Why don't you get it? I'm showing you as much as I know how to show you." And then he goes on to say, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." So, in other words, what Jesus is trying to do is he's trying to get them to see that if they look at his life, his works and his words, they have everything they need to know about God and what God is about and what God is doing. Well, I mentioned all the flaws that we have earlier in our relationships and the excuses that we made. And, you know, basically this is okay because, you know, as humans, being flawed is part of the story. We don't need to be perfect to be Christians. We don't need to get everything right in life. But I think one thing that we are called to as people of faith is to realize, like Jesus was saying today, that God is not hiding except for in plain sight. Because if we look in the life of Christ, then God is right there looking back at us, giving us everything we need to know. And you know, when we find Jesus and when we look to him to lead us, we find that we lack nothing that can't be found in Jesus Christ. I don't care what it is that we're truly searching for, even if it's a loved one who's died, we will find them in Jesus Christ. Even if it's purpose or love or forgiveness, we can find that in Jesus Christ. If it's healing in our relationship with ourselves, with another person, with God, we can find that in Jesus Christ. So I think as we live our week, coming up, what Jesus invites us to do now is get out of that mental space where we're telling ourselves, I can't, I don't have enough, God hasn't given me enough, and to go into a new mental space where we realize that God is with us, God is completely present, we have everything we need to know God and to find blessings because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen.